Our message this morning is why doubt? But after hearing a song like that, we should have no reason to doubt because of Calvary. But yet doubt comes. And we're going to share with you a message. It's going to be a two-part message. We're going to conclude it tonight, Lord willing. But we want us to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And appreciate Steve being in our service this morning. Glad that he's doing well enough to come. And he still has one side to go. And, you know, it's always harder the second time, it seems like, because you know what the first, what you've expected. But so let's pray for him. Let's pray for all of our folks that are still healing from surgeries and treatments and a lot going on in people's lives. But our privilege it is our privilege to pray for these folks, as I know that you would desire prayers as well as you go through things in your life. Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye did hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Lord, we thank you for this another opportunity. Even the last day of November, you've allowed us this privilege to be here today. We do pray for those that are on our prayer list, those that are struggling. We pray that they'll feel your presence. We pray for those that are traveling. We pray for those that are viewing online this morning. But Father, speak to our hearts. Lord, you know every heart, and you know the need of every heart, and you know where we are in our lives and the burdens and the problems and the situations we have. So, Lord, we're looking to you this morning to give us that which we need. Lord, we do pray if there's one that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you speak to that heart and cause them to realize that Calvary can make a difference. Father, we pray that you help us this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Every day, we face challenges that come in many different ways. We face things that come in our life, some that we know is coming and some that we do not. How do we face them? How do we overcome them? How do we get peace in them? What goes through a person's mind as challenges and as fears and as problems come? What goes through a person's mind? One is being afraid. One is fear. A lot of times a person will fear the what ifs. What if this happens, or what if that happens, especially when maybe you're dealing with the possibility of a health crisis or something. A doctor will say, well, it could go either way. So the what ifs. The fear of the possibilities. A lot of times our mind will race as to the possibilities of something happening, or the possibility of something not working out. The fear of what might be faced and the challenges. The fear of the unknown. Another possibility in going through a person's mind is anxiety. Having to wait. Waiting is hard. Waiting for news to come to us or waiting to hear an answer. Having to wait for an outcome, maybe a test or maybe something that we're needing to know. And just having to wait. That was one of my hard things as I was growing up. My mother said, wait more than she said anything else. But what about doubt? Does doubt come? Does doubt come for a Christian? Does doubt come for someone that is grounded in the Word of God? Does doubt come during these times? And when doubt does come, what do you do? What happens? The message this morning is, why doubt? If we're not careful, doubt can plague a believer. Doubt can control. Doubt can try to overcome. Everything can be going just fine, and everything can be happening just the way that we think it should, and then all of a sudden something happens, and maybe the question runs in your mind as to why. Why did this happen? Why am I having to go through this? Doubt is a silent destroyer and will come in a person's most vulnerable state when problems arise. Doubt can even come to the strongest of people. The strongest of believers. John the Baptist was in prison. He had been doing the Lord's work, and yet he's in prison, and he asked the question in verse 3 and sent his disciples to go find Jesus. And he says the words, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Think about that question. John was a very strong person. Matter of fact, when Jesus answers this question and he sends the message back to John, Jesus, in the latter part of these verses, or continuing on from verse 6, Jesus even talks about John and the person he was, and the message that he proclaimed, and so on. John was the forerunner of the Messiah. He prepared the people for Jesus' coming. He proclaimed the need of forgiveness of sins. He was the one that baptized Jesus. He testified to Jesus being the one that was expected and the one that was expected to come. There's two verses in the book of Luke that I want to share with you. One is found in Luke chapter 3, verse 4. The Bible says, "And it is written in the book of the words of Elias the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his pathway straight." And then if you drop down just a few verses in that same chapter of Luke of 3, John says this, "John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." But yet in that testimony and in those words from John, he still had the question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John was at the moment in time where he needed reassurance. He needed reassurance. How many times in life, in our life, and in different situations do we need reassurance? That we need reassurance. I even think about it, even began in school, how that a lot of times before a test, you would go through and you would restudy something that you already knew the answers to, but you were afraid. You needed that reassurance that this was the right answer. And then you, maybe you go when, you don't do it as much now, because so many things are online, but maybe you're headed to the bank to make a deposit. And how many times do you look in your pocket or your purse or your wallet or whatever to make sure you've got the check that you need depositing? You need that reassurance. How many times do you prepare and you plan for a trip or maybe a family gathering and you write everything down, I need to get this, and then you go through the list several times because you need that reassurance? Well, John needed that reassurance, and this was a moment in time that he needed reassurance. And even with the way the world is today, we need that reassurance that Jesus loves us. We need that reassurance that we sing and the song we just heard about Calvary. We need to be reminded of Calvary. We need to sing hymns that bring honor and glory to the Lord because we need that reassurance. We need that encouragement. We need that help. You see, his reassurance came from Jesus. Think about where John was in his life. He was in prison. And he knew the possibility of what might happen in prison. We know later that John, in fact, was put to death. But there's always that possibility. And how important it is that we need that reassurance. You see, he was there alone. Although there may have been prisoners there, he was still alone in so many ways. Enduring. Having to deal with what was going on in his life. Those were some tough moments. Those were some trying moments. And he was the only one that was going through what he was going through at that time. And he needed that reassurance. And he sent the disciples, his disciples, and asked the question, art thou he that should have come? Or do we look for another? At the moment the question was asked, seemed to show doubt. Seemed to show that, are you really he? Are you really the one that we've been waiting for? Are you really the one that was prophesied about? Are you really the one that I claimed was coming? At that moment, the question was asked. That question was in his mind. That question was ringing out, so he did something about it. He did something about it. Do you know there's so many that's carrying around burdens in their life, and there's so many individuals that's carrying around problems and situations and even, yes, doubts, that they choose not to do anything. But John chose to do something about it. He chose to seek answers. He chose to seek questions that would provide him with truth. If he had dwelled in the pit of doubt, he would have been living a life most miserable. If he would have been living in the pit of doubt, he would have had a life most miserable, because John would soon face death. John would soon face death because of truth. And therefore, we must be reassured this morning that Jesus is who he is. And Jesus is who he claimed to be. And the fact that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There should be not anyone leave this place this morning with any shred of doubt, because Jesus is truth. He sought Jesus. And that's what John was doing. He was seeking Jesus. He sent two of his disciples. Now, I can just imagine maybe that they would come and see him and maybe talk to him a little while, and he began to talk to them about his concerns, and he said, "Go find Jesus. Go find Jesus." And I need you to ask him the question. I need you to ask him, "Art thou he that should come, and do we look for another?" And John entrusted those disciples to go find Jesus because he needed the answer. You know, I think of prayer. And when I think about John entrusted those disciples, with this message and with this question, have you ever had someone said, "I need you to pray for me. I've got a heavy heart, or I've got a situation," or something like that, and they come to you specifically to pray. They're entrusting you. They're entrusting you to pray and lift up whatever concern that is. We should never let that person down, because John entrusted these two disciples to go seek Jesus. To go seek Jesus. And they found Jesus. And Jesus gave an answer. Verse 4 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which he did hear and see." Reassurance. Reassurance. And then he starts listing them out. It's almost like they were saying, or Jesus was saying to them, "Go tell John that there was some that received their sight. Go tell John that we saw the lame to walk. Go tell John about the lepers that were cleansed. Go tell John about the deaf that began to hear. Go tell John about the ones that were raised up from the dead. Go tell John about the gospel that was preached. Go tell John. Reassure him that I am he. Reassure him that he has hope. Reassure him and encourage him." You see, that's where we come together this morning, is we need to be encouraged because Jesus is who he said he was. We need the encourage this morning that when we're going through difficult times in life, that Jesus is one that we can call on. We need the encourage this morning that when life becomes tough, Jesus is tougher. We need to be reassured this morning that our hope is in Jesus and not is in the world. Because the world tries to conquer. The world tries to divide. But yet we can find hope, and we can find reassurance, and we can find peace in Jesus Christ. no matter what comes in our life. You see, we need to be reminded of that. And yes, at some point in your life, whether it has already or whether it will be, even doubt may come. My dad suffered through doubt. My dad proclaimed the gospel. My dad saw people get saved. But yet life was tough in our family. He lost his job. His father passed away. There was a lot of things going on in his life. And doubt came. But I can report to you this morning that before my dad saw the Savior, he got reassurance that Jesus was who he was. You see, doubt comes. Doubt comes. As John sat in that prison wondering, Jesus was giving him a clear answer and a clear hope that he was him. Jesus answered John's question by giving an answer that John would have to know. That John would have to know. When he started talking about the blind receiving the sight and the lame to walk and the lepers cleansed and the deaf to hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them, John would know. John would know. John was reassured that it was Jesus. There's no need to look for another, because Jesus is the greatest. There's no need to look to doubt, because Jesus is truth. There's no need to wonder, because Jesus is the answer. There's no need to fear, because Jesus overcome. You see, it was Jesus. And he is one that we can trust this morning. No matter what's happening in our life, regardless of what people may say or people may do, or regardless of what's happening in your life, Jesus is one that we can trust. Because he is our hope. He is our hope. He is one that we can put our faith in. Because you put faith in anything else, it's going to fall short. It's going to crumble. He is one that we can count on. And there's been times in our life that we've been disappointed because we were counting on something or counting on someone and things didn't work out. And maybe it was, you know, whether it was by the person doing it or maybe it was just an innocent mistake or maybe it was just something that just didn't work out. But you can rest assured that we can count on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is one that we can, you've heard the saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Well, I challenge you this morning, put all your eggs in one basket in Jesus. Because he is the one. He is the one. No need to doubt, John. It's Jesus. No need to doubt in your life, because if your faith and your trust is in Jesus, he is the one. But you know, John needed that reassurance because he was in prison and life would become tough. But Jesus knew his future and Jesus knew what was going to happen to John. Jesus knew, and Jesus gave him exactly what he needed for that reassurance, and he knows what we need this morning. It's amazing to me how God works, and it's amazing to me how that the gospel can change a life no matter what the age. The gospel can change a child's life The gospel can change an elderly person's life. God can change a person's life when they don't have long to live. God can change a person's life if they've got their whole life to live, because it's the power of the gospel that will change a life. And how that God can help in any situation in your life if we just seek Him. And that's what John was doing. John was seeking Jesus. Let's go back for just a moment this morning and think about why doubt. What is it that causes a person to doubt? Well, I think sometimes doubt comes when we allow the circumstances that we're in to take control of our mind and take control of our thinking. Because the first thing we do is we start thinking about the possibilities. Maybe in John here, and I'm just speaking if I was in that situation, and that's all we can do. But maybe as John was there in prison and he knew the possibilities that death was going to come, and later it did, but maybe he was thinking, is he truly the one? Is he truly the one? Is he truly the one that we've proclaimed? And then all of a sudden that question becomes heavier in the mind. And then all of a sudden questions like that and thoughts come out, and all these things come and they overcome what we know. They overcome what we know. And then doubt comes. You see, a testimony of my dad, and I don't think he would mind me sharing it this morning, but a question that came in my dad's mind, and I believe this: those that are in glory now, those that are in heaven now, if their testimony can help us, then I believe they'd say go for it. Because they're rejoicing now. But my dad was concerned because he prayed about my grandfather. And I was just little. It was in the very early 80s. And he prayed that my grandfather would be healed. And he began to tell everyone. And he would call him Daddy. He said, Daddy's going to be healed. Daddy's going to be healed. And he proclaimed it to everyone. Daddy's going to be healed. God told me that Daddy was going to be healed. But yet my grandfather kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then we got the phone call that my grandmother had passed on my mother's side. So we all gathered. We lived down east around the Pikeville, Goldsboro area. And we put clothes together, or they did, and they just, I was young, they just put us in the car. And we headed to the mountains. Well, in the midst of being there for my mother's mother, which was my grandmother, within 2 days of her taking her last breath, my grandfather on my dad's side took his last breath. And I remember going, and it was just me and my dad, and we had gone through the little town Marshall, and we were headed away from that town, and I was just sitting there because I had lost to death two of my grandparents, and I was young, and my dad looked over at me, and he said, "It's okay to cry." And I remember him having to just about stop the car because he was just billowing. And I remember him saying, He's gone. And it was over a period of time. It didn't happen overnight, but it was over a period of time that troubled my dad, because he felt like, almost like the Lord had let him down. Fast forward a good number of years, and his life began to change. His life began to change. He still proclaimed the gospel, but yet I could tell, even as someone that was unsaved, because I didn't get saved till I was 15, I could tell that things were different. Things were different. And we moved several other places, and the things that we did, the things that that he stood for, the things that his life just changed. And it became the new normal. But about 3 months before he took his last breath, he got back in church. And I knew things would be okay. Some of you may have walked down that same road, that things didn't work out the way that you maybe thought they were, or maybe something got into your life. And you walk down that road just as my dad walked down. You walk down that road and you knew things weren't right. But yet, at some moment in time, and I can't tell you how it happened, I just know it did happen. My dad got back in church. And he taught Sunday school in the church that we were attending. He taught Sunday school the weekend before he passed away. And there were comments about the Sunday school class from adults. And I wasn't going to church myself at the time. But a lady wrote a poem about my dad. And he hadn't been going to church. My mother and him hadn't been going to church but about 3 months. But the point is, he got things right with the Lord. And the Lord touched his heart, and the doubt went away. The doubt went away. That's kind of what happened with John. The doubt went away. And he was going to be facing death. Later on, Herod put him to death. And we can't face death this morning with doubt. We need to have that reassurance. Why doubt? Why let the life that we live and the things in our life and the situations in our life, why do we let it overcome us sometimes? Because many times we take our eyes off of Jesus. And we allow life to overcome us. But John did the right thing. John sought answers. How can we not doubt this morning? How can we overcome doubt? We need to look at the one that we are trusting in. And we need to look at the one that has overcome. You see, that's him, Jesus, in creation. Think about that. That's him in creation. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You see, we have that confidence. We have that confidence in him. Colossians chapter 1 verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You see, we trust him in creation. We see the presence of creation in him in Genesis 1:1. We see the power of creation in Him in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. And then we see in John 1, 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, in Him is creation. His presence is in creation. His power is in creation. And His purpose is in creation. His purpose. John chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over all every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God said. That's Him. That's why we can trust Him. We see Him in creation. We can't doubt His power. The one that we put our trust in, we put our trust in Him because He's all powerful. The God of creation. Number two, we think about the cradle. We're going to be celebrating Christmas here in just a few days now. And we can't help but think of the cradle. The mystery of His birth. But Jesus came with a purpose. Jesus came with a purpose. And that was to change lives. Jesus came because He's the giver of life. The giver of life. The influence of doubt can penetrate if it is not guarded by the Word of God. The influence of doubt can penetrate if it isn't guarded by the Word of God. You see, we have and we know the One who changed our life. Yeah, we can look at John and we can kind of look at his life and we can look at and Jesus, and I challenge you to read the latter part of this, beginning with verse 7 and talk about Jesus' testimony towards John. But you know, doubt's going to come. Doubt's going to come in life. But don't linger with doubt. Seek Jesus. Jesus says the words in verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Look at the power in Jesus. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Jesus says, go and tell John. Go and tell him. So I ask you this morning, when doubt comes, why doubt? Because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. Doubt can come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. And if you're dealing with life's problems today, things like, how can I get through this? How can I overcome this? How can this happen? How can that happen? And all those things, let me challenge you this morning. Do as John did and seek Jesus. Seek the One that is all powerful. Seek the One that has the answers and trust Him. John would soon face death from someone who was angry. Someone who, and we won't take time to get into it this morning, but John would face more in life, just like we're going to face more in life. But we need that reassurance that Jesus is the one that we need most in our life, and that is number one in our life. Jesus gave the answer. We're going to conclude our message tonight, but the most important thing is there challenges in your life that you're struggling with? Is there things in your life that you're struggling with? Seek Jesus. I gave a testimony of my father, who helped raise six kids with my mother. And you know, with six kids and losing your job a couple of times because companies get sold out, there's a lot of difficulties. But I'm grateful that I can give you the testimony of him, that he saw Jesus. And that doubt went away. And what he realized is my grandfather was healed. And he's with my grandfather right now in the presence of Jesus. So in reality, God did heal him. That's where we trust him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for our time together. And you know the heart of every person. So, Father, as we have this invitation, Lord, we just ask that if there's someone that's never received Christ as their Savior, Lord, speak to that heart. Cause them to realize that they need to be saved. Father, those that may be struggling in life in various ways, help us to get reassurance from you that you're who you say you are. Help us to find peace in the midst of this world that is so wicked. Help us to look to you. Lord, if you've spoken to hearts in any way, I pray they'll be willing to come. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.